You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right, hey, turn in those Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, that's right after 1 and 2 Corinthians. And then you can also turn over to John chapter 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Put a placeholder there. We're continuing our series called Who We Are. We're talking about who we are to be and become like if we've been saved by Jesus. Have you ever tried to copy someone? Have you ever had someone in your life, you know, that just seems so cool? And you want to be just like them, like they wore just the right clothes, their hair was just tight. They had the Jordans or the Reebok pumps, like way before everybody else. You know, maybe it was a big brother, a big sister, or a friend. And you wanted to be just like them. And so you would change the way that you dressed, you'd change the way that you talk and the way that you acted so that you could be like them. Maybe you looked at people in magazines or saw people on TV and you said, I want to be like that person. I had a lot of people that I wanted to be like when I was growing up. One of those was Tony Hawk. Yeah, I wanted to be able to skate like Tony Hawk. I wanted the high top airwalk shoes just like Tony Hawk. I especially wanted that 80s hair that came down over your one eye. You know what I'm talking about? We used to call that thing the California one eye. I don't know if that was really what it was called, but that's what we called it. And so the only problem was when I was growing up, my barber was my mom. And she wasn't into Tony Hawk. And so my parents, they did not pay for their kids to get haircuts. They were doing the Dave Ramsey thing before Dave Ramsey even stepped on the scene. And so so every time my hair would get close to my eyebrow, my mom would cut it off. And it frustrated me because I was determined to be like Tony Hawk. And so recently, just a while back, my oldest son, Nolan, and I was showing him some videos of Tony Hawk skating from back in the day, and I pointed out this hairstyle to him, and I told him what it was, and he looked at me and goes, Dad, I want a California one eye. And I said, Son, I wholeheartedly endorse that desire that you have. And so he's on his way. It's like getting pretty long. Dude looks awesome. And yes, I am living out my hair dreams through my 7-year-old son. It's perfectly healthy, don't worry about it. If I can't be just like Tony Hawk, then I'm determined that my offspring will be. Okay, here's where I'm going with this, all right? Do you remember what it felt like to put effort and energy into trying to copy somebody else? To try and be like them. You were determined to do that. My oldest brother, he was way more like Tony Hawk than I was, and he had the t-shirts, he had the shoes, and so I would actually, after he would leave for school in the morning, I would sneak into his room and wear one of his t-shirts to school, and then I would rush home from school and put it back in his closet and hang it back up before he got home and could find out. My dad's here this morning, and he's never heard that before. It was stressful. It took effort and it took energy, right? But I was determined, okay? We do those kinds of things. We make those kinds of changes. We try to dress and talk like them. We try to do those things because there's this thought in our minds that if we can be like that person, then maybe life will be better. Life will be good in some way, okay? So here's what I'm saying. You got to get that determination back in your life. You got to get back to a place. It's time to dig deep. There's only one person in this life who's truly worth copying. He's got the best style. He's the only person who really can make life good, who really does look and walk and talk and act and live life better than everyone else. He lives life like no one else. His name is Jesus. He's who we are to be and become like. And if that's true, then we're really supposed to become like God the Father because Jesus was determined to be like him. So here's the title of today's message, Change Determination. Change Determination. We talked about change obstacles last week. We're talking about change determination today. Will you determine to change? Will you definitely allow Jesus to change your life? If you've got obstacles in your life that need to be overcome, will you dig deep with Jesus and his people to get past them? And so once again, what kind of changes should we be seeing in our lives if we're gonna live saved, if we're gonna determine to let Jesus be our Lord and change us? If you got your Bibles, open to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to once again read verses 22 and 23. Paul writes and he shows us what our God looks like, how he walks, talks, acts, smells, the whole thing, how he treats other people. And so we should begin to look more and more like this all the time, okay? Galatians 5, 22 through 23, Paul writes, he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now, come on, church family, say them with me. Here we go. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then watch, there is no law against these things. So Jesus does tell us that we will have trouble in this life, but I'm telling you, you will have so much less trouble in life if this is how you live. Law ain't gonna come knocking on your door if this is how you live. And our lives will produce these things if we're determined to follow and obey and copy Jesus. Our lives will not produce these things if we're not. So there's change that has to take place in our lives when we let Jesus be Lord. You guys with me on that? If you've been saved, how determined are you to let him be the Lord of your life? How determined are you to let Jesus have his way in you? And church, can you really be saved if you're just not that sure about how much you're gonna let him be Lord? So let's go to John 15. And we're gonna read verses 1-8. John 15, 1-8. Jesus is having dinner with his disciples and he's gonna use this analogy of fruit or this idea of fruit to explain a spiritual concept to these guys, okay? Later that evening after this dinner, he's gonna get arrested. The very next day, he's gonna hang on the cross for you and for me. And so before that happens, he's having some real talk with his disciples, okay? I'm pretty sure he wants to have some real talk with us today too, okay? So Jesus says, here we go, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. Do you see that picture? Okay, he's using fruit, or he's gonna use a grapevine to give us a spiritual analogy, okay? To explain something spiritual to us. He says, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. The Father cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. Notice that. And then notice this. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Now that's amazing. Okay, are you seeing this? Would you agree that Jesus here, he's talking about some fruit, but he's really talking about the kinds of changes that should take place in our lives if Jesus is Lord. Amen? All right, now again, he's speaking directly to his disciples here. And so I just want to point this out though. He's speaking directly to his disciples right here, okay? He says, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you, the gospel message. If you've trusted in, committed to, and relied upon Jesus, then in other words, you've been saved, okay? And there's already a whole bunch of pruning or change that's taken place in your life. I mean, you crossed over from death to life when that's taken place, right? That's major life change. But here he goes. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. He says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay, who's Jesus? He's the vine, right? Who are we? We're the branches, right? Those who remain in me and I in them, and watch this, remember this, will produce much fruit. Everybody say much fruit. Much fruit. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. That's another spiritual analogy. We broke that one down. I mean, we got to the point of it just a couple weeks ago. Okay, well, watch this. And if you love Jesus, you should get so stoked by what he's about to say. All right, this should get you pumped up. He says, but if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, that's good news, isn't it? That's amazing, all right? Man, that's what I'm talking about. And we will talk about that here in just a minute, all right? Just a little bit more, don't miss this. When you produce much fruit, there it is again, you are my true disciples This brings great glory to my Father, okay? We're going to break this down a bit, but I want you to remember what he just said in verse 5. He said, those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. That's what he said, right? That's in your Bible? You guys see that too? Okay, so I'll remind you, that's exactly what we've been reading for the past several weeks in Galatians chapter 5. We've been seeing that the Holy Spirit does produce fruit in the lives of people who've been saved by Jesus. And in fact, Jesus just doubled down on that truth right here. We read it again in verse 8 of John 15. He said, when you produce much fruit, that's when you are my true disciples. Now, can anybody who calls the gathering home remember what a disciple is? Can you remember what our definition for disciple is here at the gathering? A disciple is someone who is... Oh, they're so good, Pastor Greg. Man, saved, changed, and on mission. Yeah, you've been saved by Jesus, you've been changed and are continuing to be changed by Jesus, and you join Jesus on his mission to make more disciples. So boy, if that's what a disciple is, then what Jesus is saying in these verses ought to probably give us pause. Because it sounds like to me, if we're not producing fruit, then according to Jesus, we're not actually his disciples. Which means it's probably more than likely that we've never actually taken that very first step to get saved. Church family, I'll remind you, these fruits are not optional for God's kids. If you've been saved, your life will produce fruit. Is that happening? Are there changes, godly changes taking place in your life? And so, very practically, listen, how can we ensure that our lives will produce fruit? How can we do that? It's very simple, and here's my one point for today. You have to determine to remain in Jesus. You have to determine to remain in Jesus. We're talking about change determination. We're talking about the changes that these fruit represents in our life, okay? Who wants to change? Who wants to keep changing? You want to change? Come on, in other words, who wants their life to start producing fruit and more of it? Who wants to get healed up and released from captivity? Who wants the darkness in their life to be overcome? Who wants to get healed and set free? Come on, you want that anger, you want that hate, you want that unforgiveness to turn into love? You want that discouragement, you want that disappointment to turn into joy? You want that gossip, that relational drama that he said, she said, make you lay awake at night, nasty garbage to just be gone from your life and vibrant peace and patience and kindness and goodness to take its place? You want to get over fear of rejection and start living the faithful, invitational life? You want to get over your uncommittedness and start being faithful to Jesus and his church? You want to stop being harsh with your spouse and with your kids and let gentleness take root in your heart and then in your family? You want to stop flying off the handle and blowing up every time your feelings get hurt or you get stressed out and get some self-control? You want to stop letting internet pornography control your life and you start controlling yourself? Well, according to Jesus, here's what we have to do. We have to determine to remain in him. Now, I just want you to follow me for a second, okay? So Jesus says we are to remain in him, okay? How many of you would agree that when you get saved by Jesus, follow me then, okay? If we're to remain in him, when we get saved by Jesus, that's when we remain in Jesus for the first time. You with me on that? Other translations say abide. That's when we begin to abide in Jesus, or we start abiding in him. According to Jesus, when you get saved, that's when for the first time you abide in him, you're in him, he's in you, and God the Father, the gardener, starts to prune you, and that's when fruit production gets ramped up. You with me on that? Okay, so what's the opposite of remaining? Peace out. It's leaving, right? The opposite of remaining would be leaving. And so Here's an age-old question that's been debated since Jesus went back up to heaven. Can you still be saved and not remain in him? Can you still be saved and not remain in him? In other words, can you get saved by Jesus, but then at some point leave him or get severed or disconnected from him? Allow that fruit production in your life to go away, but you still get to go to heaven because at some point in your past, you got saved. Can you lose your salvation, or is it once saved, always saved, no matter what your life looks like? So some of you want me to answer that question, but let me just ask you, what do you want the answer to be? What do you want the answer to be? You see, so often we want the answer to be once saved, always saved, no matter what, because we're looking for the easy way out. Because we really don't want to have to remain. We don't want to have to change. Which, listen, if that's our attitude, that actually tells us a whole bunch about how much we really love Jesus. And at that point, I would then have to ask, did you really get saved? We want to get to pray a one-time prayer in Sunday school, but then get to live however we want from there on out without any present or future or eternal consequences, because we can point back and say, oh, but I got saved that one time. I've seen this over the years too. We love to go away on Christian retreats and get all emotional and pray a prayer, but then we come back and we never let that change actually take root in our lives, but we get to tell ourselves, it's okay, I got all emotional that one weekend. I prayed that prayer that one weekend. So listen to me, we could join the debate and try to figure out the answer to that question, but here's what I think. It's the wrong thought and the wrong question altogether. Here's why. Because if you're disconnected from Jesus and his people enough to where you have to have regular conversations with yourself on a regular basis to tell yourself, it's okay how I'm living. It's okay that there's no fruit production happening in my life. I don't need to change because at some point in my past, I prayed that prayer, so God must be totally fine with me. Listen, if that's how you're living, if that's what your relationship with God really looks like, if there's no ongoing repentance, if there's no pruning, if there's no change, then I'm telling you, you're thinking the wrong thoughts. Because if that's what you're doing, all you're trying to do is rationalize away the necessity, according to Jesus, the necessity of living a fruitful life. It's like you're just trying to think, how little do I have to change but still be okay? No, that's the wrong thought. It's the wrong question. Here's the right thought and the only option. If you've truly been saved, you say, I must remain in Jesus. I'm sticking with Jesus. He saved me. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to live life apart from Jesus. I'm going to allow Jesus to prune me and change me and allow Jesus to change me even through his people around me, evil influences, circumstances, my past, other people may try to pull me away from Jesus, but I'm going to remain. And besides, church, he actually answered the debate pretty clearly in verse 6. He says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch that withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. You want my answer to that question, though? I can't see how leaving could ever be an option if you've truly been saved by Jesus. When you get saved, when you got saved, did you not also make a commitment to stick with him? I can't imagine it being any other way. I can't see salvation working any other way. It's a total commitment from that moment on. Did you really get saved, or did you just get emotional one time? Because it is possible to have an emotional response without actually making a decision or a determination in your will. You've got to determine to remain. And how do we know the difference? How do we know if you got emotional or whether you really made a decision? Here's how we know. Fruit. Fruit. Is there any fruit? And is there passion for more fruit? Again, he says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. You know who I think those people are? Okay, because it implies that they must have been close to him, or at least in his proximity at some point, but then they left. This is just my opinion, but this is who I think those people are. I think those are church people who heard the message, who heard the gospel, but then they never actually let Jesus be their Lord, and so there's no fruit, there's no change, and then at that point, they just become religious. I've met a lot of people like that over the years. So have you. In fact, some of those folks are the reason many of you guys walked away from church at some point in your past. For some of you, those folks are the same reasons you're still very skeptical about actually really getting plugged into a church ever again. We get it. In fact, just a few weeks ago, my beautiful wife, Rachel, she ran into a guy here in town who he plays a pretty significant role. He works for a pretty significant ministry here in town. And so they started talking, and he asked her, he goes, hey, how's the gathering going? How's that thing going? And so she began to tell him, but then he interjected, and he said this. He goes, I just don't see why we need any more churches in this town. Which is a pretty rude thing to say to a woman who's been working her tail off for the last 4 years to help plant a new church in this town. But so with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, she ignored the jab, and she responded with a smile on her face, and she said, well, there's 20,000 people in this town, and we all know they don't all have a church home. We all know, man, that they don't know how much Jesus loves them. And she says, so we've got work to do, right? Well, so he took a different approach at that point. He started complaining about churches that have more modern, upbeat, contemporary worship music and how he can't stand them. Which is a pretty rude thing to say to a woman who goes to a church with more modern upbeat worship music, right? But so with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Some of you are like, forget the fruit, I'd have knocked him out. Turned his face into pulp, you want some fruit? She ignored the jab, she smiled at him, and she said, well, man, lots of people all over the world enjoy worshiping Jesus with all kinds of different music. And I love this, though. She said this. She goes, besides, I don't think God's up there upset or complaining about his kids worshiping him with passion and energy. Come on. But listen, at that point, yeah, my wife's the best. You can applaud her all day long. But by that point, listen, it'd become obvious to Rachel. This is a man who says he loves Jesus, but there's little to no fruit on display in his life. Church, it's hard to see how anybody can truly be connected to the heart of Jesus, how anybody can be remaining in Jesus when all they do is complain about his bride. Come on, isn't that awful? Do you agree that that's awful? We think that's awful, but then many of us do the same kinds of things with our own church family. Yeah, I totally set you up for that, made you walk into it. Listen, I say this with grace, I do, but instead of fruit, sometimes complaints and attitudes like this often come out of us. I don't want to do that every Sunday challenge. Not showing up for that. I don't want to be on Team Reborn. Somebody else will take care of that stuff. I just don't see why I need to do this neighborhood gathering thing. I don't need that. I don't like that advice that Pastor Greg gave me. I don't care if Pastor Brandon is encouraging me to invite other people to church. I ain't doing that. And I can't stand that they did a whole series on tithing. Ain't no way I'm doing that. I don't feel like showing up in kids' ministry today, even though I committed and I'm on the schedule for this morning. They'll figure it out. I don't want to read my Bible. Okay, look, again, I know I made you walk right into that, okay? I did mention we were going to have some real talk this morning, right? But church, listen to me. I don't say these things to beat you up. I say these things to call you up. And I know this. God has nothing less than his best in mind for you. But you have to determine to remain. And I'm telling you that his best can take place in your life. Even if you have doubts about that happening in your own life right now, here's the good news. You can still determine to stick with Jesus and find out. Even if all the healing you crave and need hasn't come to pass yet, even if that discouragement hasn't turned to joy yet, it can happen. Even if you can't see how it can happen, God sees how it can happen. I see how it can happen. There's a church family around you that sees how it can happen. Your life is not an accident. Your past and your doubts, listen to me, your past and your doubts, they don't get to automatically choose what your next steps are. You still have a choice. You get to make a choice. Please hear me. Here's the choice you have to make. You have to remain in Jesus. He said, remain in me. And I hope you get the significance of that statement. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, I want you. Jesus wants you. And he wants you really close if he's saying, remain in me. Your life wrapped up in his. His life wrapped up in yours. Come on, that's really close. You are wanted by Jesus. You are wanted by the Father. He wants you. You are accepted by the Father. You are so dearly loved and liked by the Father. You think you're too messy for the Father. You think, oh, there's no way Jesus wants to be close to me. There's no way he wants to be near me after what I've done, after where I've been, after who I've been. But I'm telling you, Jesus says, come remain in me. Come be close to me. And listen to me, church. You don't remain who you were when you remain in Jesus. He changes everything. You become brand new. You don't stay that person you were anymore. He makes you alive. You've got to determine to remain. That's your part. You've got to get back to that place, that feeling, that determination you had when you wanted to be just like somebody else. And today, that person that all of us need to strive to be like and remain close to is Jesus. We've got to determine to look like, act like, walk like, talk like, smell like, treat other people the way Jesus does. We've got to remain in Jesus so that we know what Jesus is really like. You think I came up with the Every Sunday Challenge? I'm not that good. I'm not that smart. Jesus came up with that. Here's why. Because he said, remain in me, right? Jesus shows up in church every Sunday. Jesus did not say, remain in bed every Sunday. He said, remain in me. Come on. Jesus serves on Team Reborn. Holy Spirit's on our welcome team. He's been walking this room this morning, reaching his hands out to you, saying, welcome home. Jesus is on the coffee team. Jesus is on the preaching team. Jesus just played drums through Jordan a few minutes ago and crushed it. Jesus is changing diapers over in that nursery right now. Jesus is gonna show up with us next month on 6th Street for 6th Street Reborn. Will you? You wanna know how I know all of this? Because if Jesus isn't doing all of these things, then how can we account for all the fruit that's piling up all around this church? We just read a minute ago, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We're about to baptize 4 people this morning. That's not nothing. That's something. That's fruit. Jesus is here. Jesus is moving. He's changing people all around you. His fruit is pouring out through people all around you, and lives are being changed then all around you. If you're looking on the inside this morning and there's no fruit in your life right now, then here's your invitation. You need to come main in Jesus today. Hand your life over to him if you've only got a little fruit. If production is slowing down or if that fruit's getting stagnant, then grace. But listen to me, you need to be unsatisfied with that. Jesus said his disciples produce much fruit. Come on, anybody want a whole lot of fruit? I'm serious. Anybody want a whole lot of fruit? You want that fruit just pouring out of your life into the lives of other people? You want that sticky face? Because every time you open your mouth, rather than bad attitudes and complaints, man, fruit juice just comes gushing out. Then you need to give Jesus a bear hug today and determine to remain in him. You need to be where he's at. You need to start doing the things that his disciples do. You need to let his word saturate the soil of your life and allow him to prune and change you and get that fruit production pumping. Come on. I'm telling you, God's best can take place in your life. I don't care how dark, how ugly, how sinful, how bad, how dead it's been. No matter how much that person hurts you, no matter how heavy the discouragement is, his best can take place in your life. Watch this. This is so encouraging. We read this, John 15, verse 7. Jesus says, but if you remain in me and my words remain, notice that, my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Now, I personally think this is one of the most amazing verses in the entire Bible. And you should get pumped up. However, I'm concerned that most people today who say they love Jesus actually misinterpret this verse. And then when they do that, they then get to a place where they don't actually believe it's even true. Here's why. Because rather than remaining in Jesus and allowing his word to remain in us, we've wanted Jesus to remain in the genie bottle so that every time we make a mess or every time life gets hard, we can come to him and have him magically fix the problem that we have. And when that doesn't work, we then begin to conclude that verses like this just must not be true. But church, would you like for the truth of this verse to come alive in your life? Come on, would you like to be able to ask Jesus for anything and have it be granted? Some of you aren't even sure. You don't even know if you have faith to say yes. Come on, would you like to be able to ask God according to Jesus for anything and have it be granted? Come on, we all would, right? Then listen to me very carefully. Start by asking for his fruit. Start by asking for his fruit. And determine to put yourself in places where his fruit is abundant. Determine to remain. Get some change, determination stirred up in your heart. Get in his word and start praying, Jesus, change me. Say, Jesus, I need more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Start doing what disciples of Jesus do so that there are opportunities for in your life for these fruits to show up. Show up with us. Show up at breakfast if you need to go to breakfast. Show up in your neighborhood gathering, determined to serve with us. Be generous with us. Start inviting to other people to church with you, to hang out with us. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things, all your daily troubles, all the problems that you have, big, small, you name it, all that stuff and the miracles you need, those things will be given to you as well. These things will follow the fruit. Seek his fruit, strive to live like him above all else, and these other things will follow. You will have so much less trouble in life, and you'll see more of the miracles you really do need begin to take place as well. I'm telling you, if you'll determine to remain and you start asking God for the fruit, God will grant it. And then the more fruit production in your life, the more he pours out his heart, his vision, his ideas into your life, and then you begin to really know what to ask for. And you start asking God for crazy things, and he starts bringing those things to pass. That's when you start getting to ask God, I don't just need this little problem right here fixed. We need all the big problems fixed, God. We need you to do what only you can do. We need to see this city reborn. And he may not grant it immediately. There may be more pruning and changing he wants to pour out in your life and my life. I know that. I'm experiencing that. I wouldn't trade that. But I'm telling you, if we'll seek the fruit, if we'll abide in him, if we'll remain in him and let his words remain in us, your heart, my heart, they will line up with his, and we can begin to ask God for things we never thought imaginable, and he will bring them to pass. For some of you, right now you're caught up in, man, I need more money, or if I just had this job, that's really not your problem. For some of you right now, having your anger and your discouragement turned to joy would be the biggest miracle and biggest answer to prayer that you truly need right now. Don't miss the big miracle you really need because you're too concerned with the current mess. Ask for the fruit. For some of you right now, getting self-control would be the biggest miracle or answer to prayer that you could ask for. It would eliminate, with grace I say this, but it would eliminate so many of the other problems that you're causing in your life. Don't miss the biggest miracle that you need because you're too concerned with the current mess at hand. I'm telling you, ask for the fruit. You may be struggling to believe that God's best can take place in your life, but God knows it can. There's a family around you this morning that knows it can. We say, welcome home. Let's do this thing together. I know it can. Here's how I know it can. Listen to me. I am not the same man I was the day I got saved. And praise God for that day. But man, I've been on a journey with Jesus. And he has been changing me. I got a long ways to go. I got so many issues. I'm so messed up. I mean, he has taken so much sin and hurt and brokenness out of my life. He has pruned me along the way because I determined to remain. Because I determined to remain with Jesus. So how do we remain? Listen to me. It's an act of the will. You have to make a choice. Remaining is the choice you have to make to stay or to leave. It's your part that you have to play. So once again, very practically, okay? Here are the steps I want all of us to be taking as we continue to move through this series, all right? Number one, here it is again. We've talked about these the last few weeks now. Examine your daily living through the fruit of the Spirit. Did you guys grab those fancy cards? All right, hey, if you're here, you're new with us, we've got these fancy cards. They're out in the lobby. They have Galatians 5, 22 through 23 on them. They list the fruits of the Spirit, and then they just have this simple question. They say, is this who I am today? You guys been putting those all over your house and putting them at work? You got one on your nightstand for when you go to bed? Man, I want us to wake up in the morning and we see these cards and we begin to pray, God, this is who I want to be today. This is what I want to come out of me today. Change me, help me. And then at the end of the day, we're going to look at those cards again and we're going to see where we fell short. And there's grace and forgiveness all day long. But now we know how to pray. God, I need more love. Man, I failed in this area. I need more love. God, I need more self-control. I want to stop looking at that. I want to stop blowing up. You just start asking God for those things. I'm telling you, if you'll remain in him, you can ask. He'll grant you the fruit. He really will. And then, come on, here's the other one. And we saw this in our scripture today. We saw how important this is. Read God's word daily. We've got to get God's word to remain in us. The only way to get it in us is for us to be in it. You've got to be reading God's word daily. I'm telling you, at least just even a chapter a day. Start in Matthew if you don't know where to start. Work your way through the whole New Testament. Just take your time. If you miss a day, give yourself some grace and start again the next day. Just keep going. And pray while you're reading. Say, God, how can I know you more through what I'm reading? And how can I be more like you? Change me through what I'm reading. I'm telling you, if we take these steps, we'll continue to become the people and therefore the church that Jesus desires for us to be. We want to see Newton reborn? Starts right here. But I'm telling you, as we continue to take these steps and God pour, man, as he ramps up fruit production in this church, in our lives, people around us are going to be able to see, man, they really do love this city. Man, they really do love every person in this city, and it's so evident that they are living on mission to bring Newton back to life in the name of Jesus right here and now like never before. Because that's who we are. Amen? One more thing. Breakfast starts next Sunday. Man, if you've been hanging out with this church for any period of time, whether, man, this might be your first day, but you're like, I feel like God's calling me to be here. Breakfast is happening next Sunday. It's how you get plugged in. It's how we communicate to you who we are as a church and where you can fit in. We've got a place just for you to start growing with us. Pastor Greg leads it. We want everybody to go. If you've been hanging out for a month, if you've been here for 6 months and you've never gone, grab your connection card. Right. Seriously, you got to take this step. Grab that connection card and just check that box. I'm coming to breakfast. Let us know who's coming. There's already a whole bunch of people going. Man, just sign and let's do that thing together. Amen? Come on, Gathering family, those of you guys that have done this thing, we want everybody to do this thing, don't we? Yes. Come on. One more. Team Reborn. Come on. We're trying to see a city reborn here, right? There is so much work to be done, and we are better together. And here's what I'm saying. So there's a bunch of us that have gone through breakfast, and we've never yet taken that step to serve someplace. I'm trying to be as loving and gentle as possible, but today's the day, right? Everybody, I'm going to force you to nod your heads yes. Today's the day. Just write on a connection card, just say Team Reborn, and say I want to get plugged in. If you haven't gone to breakfast yet, do that first. We will plug you in, but we want to help you find your spot. Our church has so much more fruit production that could be taking place with the more people we would get serving around here. Come on, let's not miss out on any of it. Amen? Amen. All right, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. And we're going to do something really fun in just like one moment. We are going to get to baptize four people this morning. If you need to change or anything like that before you get baptized, feel free while we pray. Jesus, we love you. desperate for you, Lord. That's what we are. I pray that we would take that to heart, that apart from you, we can do nothing. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Is there a step you need to take? Come on, take these steps that we're talking about. Come to breakfast. Join us on Team Reborn. Let's ramp up fruit production in our lives. Maybe you're here and you haven't been to church in a long time. Maybe you're skeptical about church. Man, I'm serious. We get it. But your doubts and your past don't have to determine the next steps you make. What's Jesus saying to you this morning? I just believe he's saying, welcome home. Your family is right here. You've been looking for family. Your family is right here. What if you determined, man, I'm gonna plug in with the family. I'm gonna take that next step. Jesus, we love you. I pray we would be faithful to do what you're telling us, Holy Spirit. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But we want you to do everything that you have in mind through our lives. I pray over anybody in this room this morning that has doubts about whether your best can take place. I say no to those doubts. Those things don't get to stand anymore. Jesus's ways, Jesus's thoughts, Jesus's directions, that's what can take place. Everything is possible with you, Lord. I pray you would come and do the impossible in our lives, that you'd have your way, and that we'd be a faithful people, that we would say, yes, Lord. Let your fruit pour out in and through this family, Lord. Bless this city around us. Let it be reborn, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all my friends said, amen. Hey, come on, can we thank God this morning? Yes, Lord.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.